Welcome to the Senior Zone,
where we connect older adults with the organizations and resources that serve them.
The Senior Zone's goal?
While working with local and national partners,
aims to educate, empower, enlighten, entertain, and engage older adults with the tools and information to stay healthy, happy, and secure.
Great guests, health tips, upcoming events, and useful information.
So get ready to take notes
and have some fun.
It's now time
for the Senior Zone.
Good morning and welcome to the Senior Zone here on WYCB 1340 AM. I'm your host, Sean Perry, and since 2012, the Senior Zone, we've been connecting older adults 50 and over with tips and directions to senior programs and services, tools and resources, events and advice, with the hope of improving the quality of life for older adults everywhere, while also creating new conversations around how we age. Why? Simply because we care. The call-in number for today's show is 240-638-5430. That's 240-638-5430. Coming up shortly, it's Legal Counsel for the Elderly. They have a new program that saves people who have housing vouchers from eviction and homelessness. The program is called the Voucher Preservation Project. It's made possible by Sidley Austin Foundation and the accounting firm KPMG. In our second segment, we're going to hear from AARP's Chief Enterprise Strategy and Innovation Officer, my friend, Mr. Terry Bradwell, and how AARP, they're advocating on behalf of older adults nationwide. I've been trying to get Terry here in the studio for a very long time, so I am thoroughly excited today. Lastly, we've taken the Senior Zone to the streets, talking with average seniors about their aging experience in hopes of gaining a firsthand perspective on the rewards and challenges of growing older. This week's Senior Spotlight is going to be on Mr. Buddy Moore. I'm looking forward to that conversation. We also want to thank our sponsors for today's show and allowing us to do what we love to do the most here on the Senior Zone, and that is giving you good and useful and relevant information. And first up is Right at Home. Right at Home, they are the leader in the in-home senior care industry. Their trained caregivers provide the best in in-home care for seniors and disabled adults who need some assistance to maintain their independence. So if you're looking for the best in in-home care, either for yourself or your loved one, give Right at Home a call. Their number is 301-255-0066. That's 301-255-0066. Tell them that the Senior Zone sent you. Next up, they're here in the studio today, Legal Counsel for the Elderly. They provide free legal advice, free folks, free legal advice, assistance, and referrals to all district residents 60 years of age and older. So whether it's wills, power of attorneys, advanced directives, landlord-tenant disputes, estate planning, and so much more, LCE, they are there for you. And they are there for you at no cost. If you need legal assistance, give them a call. Their number is 202-434-2120. That's 202-434-2120. Next up, they are the new kids on the block. They are part of the Senior Zone family now. I'm talking about Phillips Lifeline. Phillips Lifeline, they are the number one medical alert service in the U.S. today. And they've been recommended by over 200,000 healthcare professionals nationwide, bar none. From managing the dispensing of your medications to responding to a medical emergency, Phillips Lifeline, they are just one press of a button away. To learn more, call 800-981-8352 today, and to find out which solution is right for you, or you can visit them online at phillipslifeline.com. That number again is 800-981-8352. One more time for them, 800-981-8352. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial. When we return, it's Legal Counsel for the Elderly and their newest program, the Voucher Preservation Project.
Right at Home is a special kind of company for seniors and others who need care at home. We start with a full assessment of a person's situation. Then we create a customized plan and match up a caregiver.
We take them from disconnected to connected.
Our professionals help with basic tasks like preparing meals or medication monitoring. We provide support and transportation to doctor's visits and social events.
They become involved instead of uninvolved.
We'll take them where they want to go and help them keep doing the things that they enjoy.
With us, care is consistent, not inconsistent. assistant.
And every right at home caregiver is reliable, trained, and background checked.
So you can go from uncertain to certain.
It's the right care. Right at home. Call Right at Home at 301-255-0066. We'll set up a free in-home consultation at your convenience. That's 301-255-0066.
I had money problems for several months and couldn't pay my rent. I explained the situation to my landlord, but he still says he's going to evict me. Is there anything I can do?
I gave out my personal information to someone over the phone who promised to lower my mortgage rate. I wish I hadn't fallen for that trick. Does that mean I'll lose my house?
Sadly, not having the resources for representation is a common reason many seniors are unable to protect themselves. For 40 years, Legal Counsel for the Elderly has been providing free legal services for D.C. seniors who can't afford their own. If you or someone you know is a D.C. resident 60 or older who needs legal help, please visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly. We're here to defend the rights of D.C. seniors because everyone is entitled to lawful benefits and fairness in the justice system. Visit aarp.org/LCE or call 202-434-2120. Legal Counsel for the Elderly is a nonprofit charitable affiliate of AARP.
Good morning. We are back. This is the Senior Zone, and I am your host, Sean Purry. But before I begin with my next discussion, my interview, I want to send some birthday shout outs to Miss Maxine Baker. She turned 65 on Wednesday, March 1st. She is Medicare eligible, and she resides in Northwest D.C., so happy birthday to you, Miss Baker. Actually, her birthday is February 29th, so she told me to tell everyone that she is 16 and 1 1/4 years old on this Wednesday. Next up, we have Miss Gwen Welth. She's 64 on Friday, March 3rd from San Jose, California. Thank you for listening and supporting the Senior Zone, Miss Ralph. Well, we have LCE here in the studio today. LCE is Legal Counsel for the Elderly. Olivia, I know I'm going to mess that one up.
Georgian.
How are you, Olivia?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
I'm excited to have this discussion with you. Allow me to properly introduce you. LCE, they have a new program which started last September that saves people who have housing vouchers from eviction and homelessness. The program is called the Voucher Preservation Project and is made possible through funding from the Sidley Austin Foundation and the accounting firm of KPMG. With me today again is Olivia Georgian from LCE. She is an Equal Justice Works Fellow who heads the program. Again, good morning and welcome.
Good morning and thank you.
Let's just jump right into it. I think this is such an important topic to have, and I want to stay focused on, I know the program probably affects other individuals who are not of senior age, but if we can keep it focused on seniors, because that's who my audience is.
Understood.
Yeah, got it. So let's talk about, what is the Voucher Preservation Project?
So our project works with low-income folks, seniors in particular, for LCE, in the Housing Choice Voucher Program, who are at risk of losing their voucher and, by extension, their housing. And just to give you some more background on the Housing Choice Voucher Program, in case your listeners aren't familiar with it, it essentially makes housing more affordable for low-income DC residents. And the way it works is that the DC Housing Authority pays landlords a large portion of their rent, and the tenant then pays the rest. And that makes housing a lot more affordable for low-income folks here. Mm-hmm. The Housing Authority does set requirements that have to be met by both the landlords and tenants in order to keep the subsidy coming. And sometimes, unfortunately, the landlord or the tenant doesn't comply with those rules, which then lead to the tenant's eviction and very likely homelessness. And our goal is to provide early intervention when there is a problem so we can help them remain housed and so they don't lose their housing voucher and homes. And I would like to point out that even if it's a landlord violation, the tenant can still find themselves at risk of losing their homes at the very least.
Yeah. So you mentioned early intervention. What happens during that stage if you're able to capture someone during that period of time? When is that period of time? What is considered early intervention? And then what happens in that particular period of time?
So the way I like to say it is as early as possible. Early intervention is really when a senior notices that they might be at risk of losing their voucher, either because they were receiving a notice from the housing authority or because they're falling behind on the rent. So just to Essentially, anything before litigation becomes an issue and before the senior's placed in an emergency situation. As I was saying, a tenant can become evicted from, can be evicted from their home. And so usually that's when tenants sort of wake up and realize, I need help. I can't go to court on my own. And we are trying to shift that intervention stage to earlier. So I basically only work early intervention with folks in early intervention stage, and we've seen a great number of success through that early intervention, as opposed to waiting till litigation, waiting till landlord-tenant court, and having a lot of resources go to use for that one person that could have actually been used earlier and to help more folks.
What happens, Olivia, when? What happens to a tenant when the landlord is not in compliance with his or her obligations?
So the landlord's obligation essentially boils down to maintaining the unit, making sure that it's up to code. So, for example, we don't want holes in the walls. We want good ceilings and good floors, good doors, no vermin infestation, no mice, nothing like that. And unfortunately, in the district, a lot of landlords don't maintain their homes up to code. Mm-hmm. And what happens is that the DC Housing Authority inspects these homes once a year to make sure they're up to code. If they're not, the subsidy becomes at risk and eventually can be terminated. And so when the subsidy is terminated, the tenant has to pay the full market rent. And obviously they cannot do that because a lot of them are low income. If you have a voucher, it's essentially like the last safety net before homelessness. Yeah. And so if they cannot pay the full rent, landlord can say, sorry, you're not paying the rent. I'm going to file an eviction suit against you. Tenant's evicted. And if the tenant isn't able to find housing within a certain period of time, then they can also lose their voucher. So as you can see, it's a very downward spiral from there.
Do you find that landlords use the strategy of not, remaining compliant as a way of getting out of the Section 8 program?
Absolutely. I obviously don't like to make generalizations and say that all landlords do that, but a lot of landlords do actually use that as a way of getting rid of their low-income tenants. Mm-hmm. And that's a perverted effect that I have seen, and why we created this voucher preservation project, to hold landlords accountable to their duties. Because when you sign up to take someone with a voucher, you sign up to respect the rules and regulations of the program. And while tenants, also have to respect the rules and regulations of the program, they're held accountable when they mess up. Landlords, on the other hand, basically get this way out of having a low-income tenant, flip their apartments over and rent them out to folks with more money.
Yeah. So how much time does a tenant have from the time they have an eviction notice, executed, to the time they then have to vacate?
It varies. Yeah. It varies. But that's really at the tail end of the timeline. Once you have a writ of eviction issued against you, there's very little anyone can do to intervene besides maybe buying you time. Ideally, what we'd like is for folks to reach out to us ASAP. Like, you get a notice from the Housing Choice Voucher Program at the Housing Authority. You get a notice from your landlord saying you owe rent and that, you went from owing a small portion of the rent to the full rent. That's when we want seniors to reach out to us, because there's so much more we can do to help them at that stage than we can when a writ of eviction is issued.
Sure. How big of a problem? I know you're focused on the District of Columbia. How widespread? Paint a picture for me. How big of a problem is this in the District of Columbia?
So DC is pretty special in the sense that because of the high rate of gentrification and the ever increasing levels of rent, housing is becoming less and less affordable for folks in the district. And landlords, on the flip side, see that they have more and more money to gain.
Sure.
And so because of that, low-income seniors are finding themselves increasingly at risk of this weird scheme that's been going on, where landlords at one point used to want to have housing voucher tenants house in their units because it guaranteed them a very continuous stream of income. Now they're seeing that continuous stream of income is no longer the best they can do, that they can rent it out to people with more money, and they don't need those voucher folks anymore. And so that's the kind of the developments that's been going on in DC.
Yeah, I would think it's hard to police that or control that, because the landlord has that right with their own property to get out of the program if they will. But I understand that there's some give and take between the landlord and the District of Columbia. There's an expectation that they're going to honor, you know, the system and respect the system and comply with the system and not just put our seniors out on the streets.
Right. Like I say, if you don't want to become a landlord, just don't rent out.
So you mentioned requirements, and that tenants, seniors have to meet certain requirements to stay compliant with the program. What are some of those requirements?
So a lot of those requirements have to do with reporting to the DC Housing Authority, which is the agency that gives the money that pays the landlord a portion of the rent. Mm-hmm. And so those reporting requirements are reporting an income decrease or increase. So if you lose a job, if you get a job, if you get a new public benefit, that you need to report all of those things to the Housing Authority. Another big thing to report is who's living in your household. So if you're, for example, your grandchild comes and stays with you on a permanent basis, you need to report that to the Housing Authority. And again, if someone leaves from your household, moves out of your home, you need to report that to the Housing Authority. And it's little things like that that can really put you at risk of losing your voucher, because if the Housing Authority finds out that you didn't report something to them, then they can make you pay back the money to them, and that's when you become in trouble.
And this is what I want our seniors to know, those that are on a housing voucher out there now and listening to this conversation. If you lose your housing voucher, there's a backlog.
Yes.
To get your voucher back.
Oh, I'm.
And how long is that voucher? I mean, how long is that backlog?
Currently, the waiting list for a housing voucher is 14 years, meaning they're pulling people off the waiting list who signed up in January 2003. Mm-hmm. So it's incredibly long. And not only that, the waiting list is currently closed. So you have no shot at getting your voucher back at all. So if you have one, treasure it, because it truly is a rare gem in the district.
Yeah. Is there a cost for the legal representation of LCE, if some folks out there now are going through an eviction process and they don't have legal representation now but want to tap into the resources over at LCE, is there a cost for that?
No, we're absolutely free. We do have some requirements as to who we can represent. So folks over 60, around or below 200% of the poverty line, and who live in the district, who have a district-issued voucher. But we're completely free. So I really do encourage folks to reach out to us.
Yeah. What are some of the income guidelines? How much can one not make?
So it's, like I said, 200% of the poverty line or below, and that varies based on the number of people in your household.
Yeah.
So I don't know the numbers off the top of my head.
200% is about 26,000 or so.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right. So odds are if you have a voucher, you're probably close to those guidelines in the first place.
Yeah. So I have a crazy question. Seniors go to the casino. Right.
Sure.
And so they win or lose. Are their gambling winnings considered income that would render them ineligible for a housing voucher?
That is a very random question. Anything like that is considered income. And I actually always give that example to my clients where if you hit the lottery, you might become ineligible for our services.
Right. So tell us what happens, and you touched on it, but I want to touch on it again.
Sure.
Because it's so important. What happens to a person if they lose, if he or she loses their voucher coverage? What happens to them? Are they immediately evicted? Do they have to then begin paying their full rent day one?
I mean, basically, there are certain things. If it's soon enough, LCE can sometimes intervene in what's called a voucher termination hearing and represent folks in those hearings, administrative hearings in the DC Housing Authority. But if we're unable to do that, that's really emergency situation. If we're unable to do that, then yeah, that means that the tenant has to pay the full market rent like any other unsubsidized tenant. And we all know what happens then. Tenant falls in arrears in the rent, can't pay it. Gets an eviction notice issued against them, becomes evicted, and very likely homeless unless they have family they can crash with, which is still essentially considered homelessness.
Sure. A couple of more questions. Are housing vouchers, are they transferable? Are they portable? Can you take it from one jurisdiction to another? How does that work?
You can. So it's a federal subsidy. Okay. So people all across the country can have housing vouchers, and there is a certain procedure to follow. Like the first thing you should probably do is go to the Housing Authority in DC and let them know you want to, quote, port out, which is the term that people use to move, use a voucher somewhere else. But it's not a guarantee, but it is something that you folks can do if they want to move to another jurisdiction and keep their voucher.
Okay. And where can those folks who are transferring into the District of Columbia or the surrounding counties, where can they find participating landlords and properties?
So any landlord in the district or anywhere else has to I'm not sure about other jurisdictions. I'm just going to stick to my specialty, okay, which is D.C. But landlords in D.C. cannot reject tenants based on just their vouchers. That's considered source of income discrimination because vouchers are considered a source of income. Mm-hmm. And so if a tenant with a voucher would meet all the other requirements as a tenant without a voucher, there's no reason to discriminate against that tenant with a voucher. That being said, there's a rampant discrimination against voucher holders in the district. And so that's something else that LC helps with holding landlords accountable to taking in these tenants who have every other requirement that the landlord is asking for, but for the housing voucher.
Yeah. And one last question. For those that have, because seniors have physical disabilities, mm-hmm, and challenges, for sure. Are there, is there something within the program that assists them with finding property?
So the Housing Choice Voucher Program does not, and our program sometimes helps, but really we're more legal focused than anything else. But essentially, if you find a landlord that you want to lease up with, but you're having difficulties because the landlord is giving you trouble, I highly recommend that you reach out to us because we can intervene in those situations, reach out to your landlord on your behalf. But there, because you can use your voucher to go to a private landlord, you basically are in charge of finding a disability accommodating unit for yourself.
Gotcha. One last question. I said that before. Where can those individuals that are facing eviction and the fear of homelessness, where can they contact LCE and seek your legal representation and help?
So please call our hotline number. Mm-hmm. It's 202-434-2120. And additionally, I'm at the DC Housing Authority nearly every Tuesday morning at what's called the walk-in voucher hours, where voucher holders can go and ask questions about their vouchers. And the DC Housing Authority is located at 1133 North Capitol Street Northeast. And again, I'm there nearly every Tuesday morning. So if you need help, come see me. I'd be happy to assist you as best as I can.
We've been speaking with Olivia Georgian, yes, over at Legal Counsel for the Elderly. We've been talking about their new voucher preservation project that's been funded by the Sidley Austin Foundation, as well as accounting firm KPMG. We want to thank them for participating in that project as well. Olivia, thank you.
Thank you.
You're now
much.
A friend and a family member of the Senior Zone.
Well, thank you. I'm very excited about that.
Your certificate is on the way, so you're official now.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it so very much. We'll be right back with Mr. Terry Bradwell. He's the Chief Enterprise Strategy and Innovation Officer over at AARP. Don't change that dial. I'll be right back.
Falls are the most common health risk among seniors and are the leading cause of injuries. Managing your medications is a critical step in fall prevention. Missing doses or taking incorrect doses can contribute to your risk of falling. The Phillips Medication Dispensing Service helps you manage your medications by organizing your pills and reminding you when and how to take them. It's easy to set up and use. Most importantly, it enables you or your loved one to remain living independently. Medications are dispensed in dosage cups at pre-scheduled times with audible reminders. It even alerts your caregiver if doses are missed. The Phillips Medication Dispensing Service is a simple way to manage even the most complex medication regimens and lessens your chance of falling or hospitalization. Call 1-800-981-8352 today to learn more or visit us online at phillipslifeline.com. That's 800-981-8352.
Right at Home is a special kind of company for seniors and others who need care at home. We start with a full assessment of a person's situation. Then we create a customized plan and match up a caregiver.
We take them from disconnected to connected.
Our professionals help with basic tasks like preparing meals or medication monitoring. We provide support and transportation to doctor's visits and social events.
They become involved instead of uninvolved.
We'll take them where they want to go and help them keep doing the things that they enjoy.
With us, care is consistent, not inconsistent.
And every Right at Home caregiver is reliable, trained, and background checked.
So you can go from uncertain to certain.
It's the right care. Right at Home. Call Right at Home at 301-255-0066. We'll set up a free in-home consultation at your convenience.
That's 301-255-0066.
Good morning. We are back. This is the Senior Zone. I am your host, Sean Perry, and with me today is Mr. Terry Bradwell. He is AARP's Chief Enterprise Strategy and Innovation Officer. He helps shape AARP's future through the development of a clear enterprise strategy and a strong innovation pipeline. He is responsible for strategic planning, corporate relations, and an innovation lab that continually looks at how they can do better or how we can do better and discover new solutions that help our members or their members who are 50 and over live their best lives yet. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. It's such a pleasure to be here with you, Sean.
It's a pleasure to have you here on the show. You have a very big title.
It is. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
That's a mouthful, yes.
Just call me an innovation guy. How about that?
I had to practice that and rehearse that, several times. Ask my wife. She will attest to that for sure. Big title, huge responsibilities, I'm sure, over at AARP. I'm a fan of AARP. Went to get some yogurt with my daughter sometime about a week or so ago, and they had a discount.
Of course. We got discounts for just about everything out there.
Sweet Frog. I'm plugging Sweet Frog right now and got my discount.
Good. Glad you put it to use.
Exactly. So thank you so very much. You know, Terry, you sit at the highest levels within AARP, no doubt, reporting, I'm assuming, to Joanne Jenkins.
Absolutely.
Over there. Had the pleasure of meeting her twice in the last year. Nice lady. If you can, talk about your role with AARP.
Well, the way I like to consider my role, and I'll say this for the 2,500 people that we have working at AARP across the country, we're called Everyday Innovators of Aging. Basically, when we're looking at one of the things that you, me, no one in this country, no one in the world can ever disregard is the fact that we will get older. We will all age.
God willing.
Absolutely. And so as we age, the implications of aging are very, very real. But unfortunately, sometimes, folks are looking at aging as one of those things as diminishing returns in life. We choose to look at aging as possibilities. What are your possibilities in life? Mm-hmm. And so basically our mantra is that we want to let you, well, not let you, that you should, you deserve to choose how you want to live as you age. So that's basically what our mantra is at AARP. And we're Everyday Innovators of Aging, doing that every single day. 2,500 employees plus thousands of volunteers around the country.
Absolutely. And you could not do it without those volunteers.
No way.
The chapter meetings, and it's a phenomenal group of people.
Oh, our volunteers are a secret sauce. That's the best case. I mean, those are the best employees basically we have. They're unpaid employees, but they're doing it from a place of passion, Sean. Yeah. So our volunteers are basically, that's our sweet sauce.
Yeah. I've been to several of the chapters here in the region, and you're absolutely right. Those people are just passionate about what they're doing, there and advocating on behalf of older adults. Since we're speaking about volunteers, can you talk to those that are listening out there that are sitting in their four walls and thinking about, what can they do? How can they get out of their four walls, out of their box and start participating in this aging, community?
Absolutely. Well, the first place I would say, if you're sitting down and you have a computer in front of you or any type of technology device, go to AARP.org. Mm-hmm. There are tons of resources out there for you, and especially around opportunities and volunteering. We have a portion of our site that's called Create the Good. And so basically what it does is that it understands what your interests are, what you're passionate about, where you want to give your time and your attention. And so we'll match you with possibilities in terms of things that you will be interested in volunteering. And so Create the Good has been a very, very strong resource for us, connects people with the type of things that they want to do. And so that's where I would guide them first in terms of going to AARP.org and looking at those opportunities that are out there. And there are numerous opportunities.
Yeah. Big title, big person over at AARP. What are some of the nationwide campaigns and initiatives that intersect directly with your day-to-day activities?
Well, the way that we like to look at our lens is in three different dimensions, is looking at a person's health, looking at your wealth, and then looking at what we call yourself. Those are the things that are personally fulfilling to you. And so one of the biggest area that we're focusing in on right now from AARP perspective, especially my role, is an area of caregiving. And just to tell you a little bit of a personal story, this is why I came to AARP, is because I became, and my sister, we became caregivers at a time we did not plan for, didn't know where to go, didn't know what the resources were available. Our mother was still relatively young when she found out she had a debilitating debilitating condition. AARP was a client of mine at the time. And I realized that this client had so much information, and it wasn't just the information, it was the empathy and the compassion in which they shared the information. Mm-hmm. From that time on, I was hooked. So 14 years later, I've still been with AARP, enjoying every moment of it, and get up every morning and said, oh, goody, I get to go to work.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I get to do something what I consider that's impactful. And I know you know the way that feels,
I
Sean.
I sense that. When I've met, you know, the folks over at your organization from all levels throughout your
Absolutely.
Organization, I feel that empathy, that passion that they have for what they're doing. That
Absolutely.
They're doing something important.
Absolutely.
Something meaningful over at AARP. And I'm not trying to plug AARP, mm-hmm. but those are the individuals when I come across, that's what I sense and feel when I meet those folks, including those volunteers. Mm-hmm.
And it's real. I mean, this is real. I mean, this is not about P&L for AARP, profit and loss. This is not about trying to, you know, our mission is not about making money. It's not about filling the coffers of AARP. It's really about going out in society and doing what I call, my father was old. Baptist preacher, so I say God's work. Right. You know, really going out in the community and doing those things that we know are going to benefit all of us as we age.
Yeah.
And so we do have the most passionate people that I've ever had the pleasure of working around.
So speaking of benefiting the older adult population, what are some of the programs and services that are vital that to healthy aging that AARP is involved in?
Well, I'll mention a few. Let me mention, first of all, probably our award-winning periodicals, our publications. We have AARP, the magazine. When you become a member, you automatically get our magazine and you get our bulletin. It is ripe with a lot of information in terms of information that is, if you're interested in caregiving, you're interested in your Social Security, you want more information and learning what your benefits are. These are the resources that we have readily available for you. Whether it's online or offline. Again, caregiving is a place that we're spending a lot of time in terms of a caregiving resource center. If you have needs, whether you're a caregiver or you know someone that has caregiving needs, there's a caregiving resource center that you can go to and get tons of information and connect you with products, services, as well as tips that you would need to become a caregiver. One of the biggest things that we found from our member, Sean, that they're concerned about as we age, we're concerned about our cognitive decline, our mental health. Mm-hmm. And so we have a wonderful program. I subscribe to it myself. It's called Staying Sharp. And this is a program that actually gives you tips and information as well as activities that you can get keep involved in to keep yourself strong and sharp mentally. So it's called Staying Sharp, and I would highly encourage everyone to go over and check that out because it is an amazing program.
Yeah, I need to go check it in right now. I should have checked in before the show. AARP, I mean, you're everywhere. You're doing phenomenal work. But are there areas that you see that AARP could be coming more involved in or improve upon?
Well, you know, there's always room for improvement because society is changing it's changing at a fast pace, very, very fast in front of us. One of the areas that I think not only AARP, but society can improve upon is ensuring that as we age, that people are connected to the type of technologies and using technology that's going to be a benefit for us. And so this is an area that we've been highly focused on, an area we still are putting a lot of research sources into. But this is about ensuring that individuals, you know, if they have that smartphone and want to stay connected with their friends, family, community, and loved one understands how to use the technology. Many of our members, like myself, I'm 54 years old. I grew up in an analog age, and I was sandwiched into a digital age. Mm-hmm. But people who grew up in the analog age, we're used to push one button, and it just works.
Right.
Now there's a lot of different things that you have to do to get the value. And the value is much more it's much more readily available to us than it has ever been, but there's also a frustration in that as well. So this is one area that I am personally passionate about because I do see a lot of people that are still sitting on the sidelines when it comes to technology. But again, this is where we are putting a lot of emphasis, and we encourage the technology community to design products and services that makes them a little bit more warm and welcoming to those folks who absolutely want to get off the sideline
Absolutely.
And use technology.
Absolutely. And sometimes you have to coerce or force a senior. My mother's listening right now.
Yeah.
She's up in Philadelphia, and she has shied away from technology mm-hmm. up until last October. I forced her to get a smartphone,
mm-hmm.
abandon the house phone, let's put the house phone down.
Right, right.
And I put a smartphone in front of her and taught her some basic things, you know, how to text, how to take a picture. And it's taken her about 3 or 4 months, you know, to send that first text off to me and send a picture to me. She's probably giggling right now. And I find she's indicative of so many others that are out there that are 70 plus,
right,
that are just shy or fearful of the use of technology. I've tried here on the Senior Zone to do a couple of tech fairs over the years to get folks out, to get them trained how to use their smartphone, their iPads, right, and all the other smart devices. But I know that you guys are on the front lines of ensuring that our seniors become more tech savvy. On the flip side of that, I have 80-year-olds that come out to our events, Terry, that are, you know, social media friendly and use it all the
time.
Absolutely. So it's hard to find that particular individual now as we get older. You know, the 65, right, you know, year old, they're more tech savvy than, you know.
Absolutely. And you know, I will say, Shonik, because I don't want the stereotype or typecast, sure, here. Mm-hmm. The gap is closing. I mean, you'll be amazed. I'm so amazed many times that I go out and see how prolific that the older population is getting with technology and comfortable with technology. But there's still, in my opinion, if you have one on the sidelines, that's one too many. And especially in this day and age where technology is becoming imperative. You know, 10 years ago, it was a nice to have. Mm-hmm. Being able to, you know, to send a message to your grandkids and things of that nature, send a picture across the country, that was a nice to have.
Absolutely.
Because there were so many other options and ways that you can communicate. But now most of the world has gone to digital technology to communicate. So if you're sitting on the sidelines, that means you're isolated from the communications mechanism that can connect you to your passions in life. Yeah. So I don't want one person on the sideline. But I will say that, you know, for younger adults that are trying to encourage, and I'll use the word encourage, never force older adults to technology, encourage them and show empathy. Because again, it's not that David had a lifetime of learning, very, very smart people, just using a different type of technology that was with them during their youth.
During their time. Exactly.
Absolutely. And reorienting yourself to a newer brand of technology, it is not the easiest thing to do. So start with that empathy first.
You have to have that mindset and take those baby steps. You know, because I think it's such a useful tool to combat things such as, you know, social isolation.
Absolutely.
To get seniors out of those four walls and let them know that there's things that they can still do. Whether it's, they may find a garden club down the street through social media by using, you know, technology. So that's my, you know, aim and intent, you know, when I try
Absolutely.
To get seniors to adopt technology, to get outside of those four walls and still live life to the fullest. If I can, Terry, with the time that I do have,
sure,
I want to switch gears just a little bit because it's in the news, and I don't know if this is within your wheelhouse over at AARP, but Donald Trump, President Trump, mentioned during the campaign that he wouldn't touch Social Security and Medicare. Just recently, I believe over the weekend, they reiterated that again. What is AARP doing? How is AARP advocating for our older adults, you know, to protect, you know, Social Security and Medicare as we now know it?
I mean, you said it in a nutshell, Sean. I mean, and you see our advertisement. We want to absolutely protect these promises that have been made, and we don't shy away from that. There was a promise made in terms of ensuring that older adults will have the protections that they that have been in place for a very, very long time when it comes to Social Security, when it comes to our Medicare. And so what we're asking, not only we're really asking Congress to act, because we know that there's a lot of conversations that are going on currently. Mm-hmm. And but we are very, very steadfast in terms of keeping your promise and ensuring that older adults have those protections that have been in place in this promise that has been made many, many years ago, that we keep that promise.
And I agree, but we've heard Speaker Ryan, you know, for years now talk about privatizing Social Security and Medicare. What can our listeners, our older adults, do now? How can we get them more energized, galvanized around this particular issue? Because it's going to affect their bottom line and their livelihood.
I would say just reach out to your local congressperson. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely reach out to them no matter where you are. If you have any concerns, that's where it starts. You know, it starts locally for you. And all of us have representatives, local congress people that are representing kingdom. And so I would say reach out and be vigilant about that. One thing I can say is that they do listen. Those phone calls, they do monitor that.
Yeah.
So I'd say absolutely reach out with any concern is in making sure that we're adhering to the promises that were made.
Sure, sure. And to be strong enough for that fight, for that Social Security, Medicare fight, and all other issues, our seniors have to be strong and healthy.
Absolutely.
Right? They
absolutely.
Gotta eat well. So what is AARP doing? What programs do you have to ensure that, you know, you're offering the best possible advice with respect to, you know, eating healthy, living? Now, you spoke about wealth.
Health, wealth, and self.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yep, absolutely.
Give us some guidelines, some guidance there on, you know, what AARP is doing.
Well, you know, we have a host of information. Again, going to AARP.org, you'll see a lot of information we have about, you know, healthy recipes that we're promoting, just healthy behaviors around lifestyles. What you know, it goes back to that old adage, Sean, you are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
We just started a partnership recently with our new health and, you know, healthy living ambassador, Denise Austin. And I would encourage everyone to go out and take a look at her because she is very, 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 I would say, steadfast in her belief in terms of ensuring that healthier lives means happier lives. And so she is definitely promoting exercise, eating healthy, and all of just the basic fundamentals in terms of what we need to do to keep ourselves healthier.
Yeah.
Now, in my world, in the innovation world, we are actually testing some newer things. We just entered into an engagement with a gentleman by the name of Chef Daniel Thomas. For those of you who are in D.C., you might recognize him. He's sort of a local celebrity here. He's cooked for dignitaries. He was the head cook for the House in Congress for many, many years. He's cooked for presidents. And so we have the opportunity to work very, very closely with him. And he is very, very steadfast in his belief in terms of issuing challenges of positive eating, positive diet, substituting the salts with more flavors and spices and things of that nature. I love my salt. I can't get away from it, but he has actually changed my mind in terms of how I need to prepare my meals as well.
Yeah.
So we're doing a lot with him. You'll start seeing him pop up in some of our periodicals and some of our local events as well.
Okay.
So again, his name is Chef Daniel Thomas.
Look forward to hearing more from him on that and as well. Let me know more about that as well. I'm bouncing around because I have so much I want to talk to you about within such, you know, short period of time. I talked about social isolation just a few moments ago, and it's a big problem for many seniors. Many are living alone. Many are widowed. Many are divorced. What is AARP doing to combat, you know, and address that challenge?
Well, you know, what our AARP Foundation and AARP across the board absolutely is very, very interested in the challenges that are created because of isolation.
Mm-hmm.
But we go a lot deeper in our foundation where that's one of the pillars of their mission and, I mean, of the AARP Foundation's mission. We actually have, again, going back to the world that I'm in, the innovation world,
sure.
We have a partnership right now that we're doing with Amazon and leveraging the Amazon Echo as a device that can be placed in the home that will allow for interaction and allow for certain things. And we've been in test right now, and we'll be testing it for the next 6 or 8 months to see what impact bringing technology into the home that you can interact with, frictionless technology that you can talk to, ask questions with. It gives you information and seeing what impacts that does have on isolation and reducing it. We know isolation is not just being separated from folks. It goes into health concerns as well. You know, isolation absolutely leads into more decline in health. It's just really, really, it's a challenge for us.
You mentioned Echo, and I'm smiling here for those that can't see. My in-laws, you know, I didn't realize they had this Echo, and I've heard of Echo. I had never experienced it myself. And this was a few months ago. Go over to the house, and the mother-in-law, she mentioned, you know, she wanted to hear a certain song.
Right.
And so she says, Echo, play. I forget the name of the song right now. And I thought it was such a cool thing. But it made me think about the interaction that tool provides for her as well as for him to have something. It seemed like it was a friend, a guest that was there in the house. They're like, Echo, go do this for me. Or, Echo, what's this? And I thought it was such a great tool for isolation and just to have company in the house, you know,
absolutely.
Albeit it's virtual, you know, but that's a great tool to have.
Well,
we can drive the cost down for our seniors. That would be
absolutely,
a great plus.
Absolutely. And there are variations of the Echo. I mean, if you get the premier device that will be about $179, I think it retails for, then there's a little smaller device that does the same things. It's called Echo Dot that, you know, they usually have it on sale for $39. So the price point, since this is newer technology, is like any new technology. Price point typically goes up until there's a proliferation of it, and prices do start coming down. Yeah. But one thing from an ARP perspective, we're getting on the front end of this instead of back end of this, because we see voice-enabled technology is going to have so many benefits for us, especially artificial intelligence. We're getting very, very deep into that area as well. So many benefits from it for us in terms of living better lives and interacting with technology.
Yeah. Terry, our time is up, sir, but I want to give you a couple of minutes to, for any last remarks that you may have for our listeners out there. I've been speaking with Mr. Terry Bradwell. He is the Chief Enterprise Strategy and Innovation Officer over at AARP. Terry, this is your platform, sir.
Well, you know, I'll first of all just thank you for having me on your show. You say you've been trying to get me here. This is like for me.
This is a coup.
It's a coup for you, but I tell you, it's a coup for me as well. I think I was telling you early on, this kind of brings back memories when I was a little bit younger. One of my first forays into trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life was becoming a DJ. So I worked as a disc jockey for it's a college radio station for a little bit of time, and that didn't work out so well. So I'm glad to have round two of this. But I want to thank you, Sean, because you have been out there. You've done almost 300 shows. You're advocating for the same type of issues that we're looking at day in and day out. And and I see it, and every time I look at you, and every time I hear you, I see the passion that is coming from you. So I want to take my time really to thank you. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're out there every day, but I don't hear many people advocating you and the things that you are doing. So I just really want to thank you for everything that you're doing in terms of getting information out there for the people that we're serving every day.
Yeah, well, thank you, Terry. I'm just a conduit. I'm just a vessel that God is using to improve the quality of life for older adults out there. But it does come from the deepest parts of my heart there, and it means a lot to hear you say that as well. So thank you so very much, sir. And
Absolutely.
You are welcome back anytime.
Absolutely.
Linda, we might have to get him back. We have to book him again.
One of the things I can do for you, I can do a little sign-off that I used to do back in the day.
Well, go ahead and sign off real quick. I have another guest going to do a senior spotlight in a minute, but go ahead and sign off.
All right. So I hope you all had fun, but we got to run. That's it. I quit. Got to slide. Got to split. Move, groove, and go and get my stuff and steal the show. But if anyone asks you all who was raising all of that hell, you tell them Sean Perry in the Senior Zone. Featuring Terry Bradwell, full of peace, love, and happiness.
I like that. I got it recorded, so I'm going to use that one again. Thank you so very much, Terry. We'll be right back with our Senior Spotlight of the Week.
Philips Lifeline is the number one medical alert service in the U.S. today and has been recommended by over 200,000 healthcare professionals. This year alone, over 13 million adults, 65 years and over, will experience a fall, and the presence of a chronic condition like heart disease, high blood pressure, and diabetes can also lead to a higher risk of falls. Philips Lifeline with Auto Alert is designed to detect true falls and will automatically place a call for help if it detects a fall and you can't push the help button yourself. If you experience a fall without automatic fall detection technology, you could spend hours, even days on the ground without the critical help you need, and a serious situation can quickly get worse. Call 1-800-981-8352 today to learn more and find out which Lifeline solution is right for you, or visit us online at philipslifeline.com. That's 1-800-981-8352.
We are back with our Senior Spotlight of the Week, Mr. Buddy Moore. Are you there, buddy?
Hey, Sean. How are you, man?
I am doing well, sir. So, you know, buddy, I've been wanting to do this for quite some time now, to interview, you know, just regular seniors to get their firsthand account, their perspective on what it's like to age here in the DMV. And, you know, I wanted to hear about, is your expectations of what it's like to grow older, is that meeting your reality? And so today, you know, you are my first male senior spotlight, you know, of the week. And I want you to share your story and shed your light on what it's like to grow older here in the DMV. So what is it like, buddy?
Well, thanks, Sean, for giving me this opportunity to talk about my experience here in Washington, D.C. As you may or may not know, I lived in D.C. for more than 75 years, so I consider myself a D.C.ite. As seniors, I think we have the best of all worlds. That is, many of us are retired, and we do indeed have control over our time. We may not have control over a lot of other things, but we do have control over our time. And many of us are pretty wise because we have a certain amount of knowledge and experiences that help us out, help us to go through things in a very positive way. And of course, we also have a sort of a frugal way of handling our money. My mother used to tell us that she could hold a dollar bill so tightly and squeeze it that it would make George Washington holler. So she knew how to handle a dollar bill.
You got that right. I know my grandmother, she could feed the whole family for $5, beans and rice and some chicken gizzards, and we were good for the entire week. Let me ask you real quick, buddy, because we don't have but about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Accessing services in the District of Columbia. You live in which area of D.C.? Which
ward? Ward 1.
Ward 1.
Yes.
What's your experience like in terms of tapping into the programs and resources that are offered either by the Office on Aging, the Department of Parks and Recs, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's pretty good, Sean. As always, there's room for improvement. Fortunately, I am the Ward 1 Commissioner on Aging, so I have an opportunity to work closely with Laura Newland, the Director of the Office on Aging, and she is pushing the commissioners to do our share in making sure that we are looking for every senior within our ward to find out, are they in fact receiving information and services that they deserve? And we are looking for just any type of way specifically to find those seniors who are homebound, those seniors for whatever reason are not getting out and mingling with others either through the wellness centers or through the recreation centers or through other organizations. That's a tough one because if a senior is isolated at home, very few people know where he or she is located. And if we can sort of break down that barrier, I think it would go a long way in providing information to those persons who ordinarily would not get information that would be advantageous to them.
Yeah, buddy, and I appreciate your work over at the commission, but I want to focus on you as an older adult. How old are you, buddy?
I am 79. I'll be 80 in the next couple of months.
So wow, 80 coming out, a big 80. So what would you say is your biggest challenge and reward with respect to, growing older?
Yeah. Number one, my biggest challenge is I suffer from low vision. That is, I have glaucoma, I have cataracts, and I have dry eye. So it really cuts down on my night traveling, especially. It's difficult for me to see at night, so some of the meetings that I would like to attend do in fact take place in the evening, and I'm not able to get those meetings, but any meeting during the day, I'm generally there getting information that I can then share with others. And that's my biggest challenge. I don't see too many other challenges because if I find that there's something that I really want to do, I'll figure out some way to do it. Mm-hmm. If there's information that I need, I feel that I need, I'll figure out some way to get it. So I'm very curious about things that are available in the city. And I'm also anxious to get that information and share it with others who may not be able to get to those meetings that I'm able to attend.
Yeah. Part of what I want to do with our senior spotlight, buddy, is to allow other seniors to just veer in, peer into other seniors' lives and see how they are managing, coping, dealing with growing older here in the DMV. And I know that, you are a very active senior. You're not locked behind your four walls. You get out. Speak to our seniors with the couple of minutes that we have left, how they can, still live life, still fulfill and achieve dreams, how they can even reinvent themselves.
Sure. Well, Sean, I think, first of all, every senior should be aware of the closest senior wellness center to his or her home. There are 6 wellness centers in the city. There's one in Ward 1, Ward 4, Ward 5, Ward 6, Ward 7, Ward 8, and Ward 2 and 3 do not have wellness centers, but you're free to attend or to become a member of any wellness center. I would state to any senior 60 and older contact a senior wellness center, get involved. That is where I get most of my information. That's where I do all of my exercise. That's where I conduct and, of course, sit in on workshops on diabetes, on heart disease, on cholesterol. And that's where I get my information on various types of nutritional meals. So there's just a plethora of information and other things that are available at these senior wellness centers. And believe it or not, there is no charge on the services that they provide.
Gotcha. Buddy, real quick, what would you say, what would your 20 or 30 or 40-year-old self say to your 80-year-old self now? Or, you know, or what would you say as an 80-year-old to your 20 or 30 or 40-year-old self in terms of preparing for retirement?
Yeah. You know, Sean, I think a number of us, the men in particular, we have sort of a saying, and I use this all the time. That is, if I knew that I would live this long, I would take better care of myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm telling young people, take care of yourself by eating nutritiously, by exercising, by getting information that you can use, and seeing things in a positive light. Even if something negative happens to you during the day, don't focus in on that one issue. Think about all the good things that happened. You woke up this morning. You woke up in a bed, I'm sure. If not, you woke up in some place that was nice and warm. You had food. You were able to get out and move around.
Absolutely.
So many positive things happen. And so do not let one negative thing ruin your whole day.
There's so much to be grateful for, no matter what your circumstance is. One last question, buddy.
Sure.
And I don't mean any disrespect by it at all. I know that you are widowed, and, you know, I've been for a while. I know you speak about your wife in endearing terms all the time, but what is the dating life like? If you're dating now as an 80, soon to be 80-year-old gentleman, what's the dating scene like for an 80-year-old
Well, let's put it this way, Sean. I have a few female friends who help me out from time to time whenever I need them.
Okay. I don't know what that means, buddy, but I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
All right. I'm not going to call you a player, but I'm going to leave it at that, my friend.
Okay.
Buddy Moore, you are our senior of the week, part of our senior spotlight effort here to identify seniors that are still living life to the fullest. As AARP says, you are disrupting aging. So we thank you, buddy. Keep doing what you're doing. Stay strong. And we'll have you back here one day soon.
Thanks, Sean.
I appreciate it. To have your event again mentioned here on the Senior Zone, or to share your thoughts about today's show or recommendations for future broadcasts, call the Senior Zone at 800-217-1984 or again, email us at info@theseniorzone.com. Be sure to join us next Monday here on the Senior Zone for another informative show. Until then, don't change that dial. The Discover Your Why radio show of Dr. Eve Taylor. She is up next. Until next time, have an intentionally blessed week. We love you.
Be sure to join us on our next broadcast.
Until then,
live simply,
love generously,
care deeply,
speak kindly,
and leave the rest to God. Have a wonderful week, and God willing, the Senior Zone will be here for another informative and entertaining hour next Monday morning at 10 a.m.